Therapy roulette, consent event. Trauma disguised as comedy. Therapy roulette, consent event. If you don't have problems, then you're likely repressing shit and you should find a therapist. Who's not me?
Hey, Roulettes. Welcome back to season two of Therapy Roulette. My name is Michelle Bacci. I give you consent event on this podcast only. Welcome. It's been a while. I'm a little rusty, not gonna lie. It was nice taking the time off to live, to breathe, to do some stand-up. You can expect harder-hitting questions, even more fascinating guests, and as usual, your lovely host, moi. I have been doing a lot more stand-up since December when I last talked to you, my lovely audience. I did a few shows in New York, I did a few shows in LA, and I've been building my internet presence, whatever the fuck that means, who knows. I've been filming little videos, and maybe they'll be released. For now, I am carefully selecting what I want to release, because, I don't know, YouTube is a place where things happen, and you gotta think about that stuff. So I started the new year, as I usually do, with a bunch of goals. Way too many goals. Not going to get into it here because I don't want the feedback. Thank you. But a few of them have stuck so far. And I've been starting with the real basics, like go outside every day. Go on a walk and do a little bit of exercise every day, even if it's a few minutes. I'm trying to do 10 minutes of walking every day or 10 minutes of yoga every day. And for the most part, I have been doing that since the new year. I started yoga with Adrienne, her 30-day challenge, YouTube yoga personality. What a gem. I did her 30-day challenge starting in January, and I've kind of stretched it out because I'm not done yet, and it's, you know, late February. But I've been doing what I can, and a lot of yoga just makes me feel good. I am a yoga person. I need to be on a mat telling myself to breathe. It really helps me. It calms me. It centers me. It prepares me for whatever other shit I'm facing. So more yoga in my life has been a great reset. So has been walking outside, just taking those little neighborhood strolls like it's early pandemic days, or like I'm imitating my mom, Sue Bacci, because she loves to go on daily walks. It really refreshes my mind to be out in the natural oxygen and the glimmer of sunlight I can squeeze in every day. Blessed to live in California where we have the thing that is the sun. And I got a little Apple Watch for Christmas. Very nice gift from Joseph, my partner. So I've been very much inclined to exercise every day because the Apple Watch rewards you with little things like, hey, good job. You completed your ring. You go, girl. And I need that. I need that reward system. It keeps me going. I'm not ashamed of it. I've also been reading more and social media obsessed less, I think. I mean, my screen time hasn't gone down a whole lot, but it has gone down slightly. And I've taken Instagram and Twitter off my home screen. They might end up back on my home screen if I can figure out how to put them back. But for now, they're gone, and I have to search for them, so it makes it a little harder to open them, which is nice. But still, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm still there. I'm just trying to be there 10% less, you know, taking it down a notch. I want to read more books in 2022. I've fallen off from reading ever since, honestly, I moved to the West Coast because I've gotten a little dumber on the West Coast. But for Christmas, also, my sister Angela got me a book called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb. It's a really good book. I'm enjoying it. It's about a therapist. And when she has a breakdown, what does she do? She finds a therapist. And it's her story. I recommend it. It's also an easy read, so I can read it before going to bed. And I want to stay up a little later and keep reading, which is the best kind of book. You don't want a heavy thinker before you go to bed. You don't want to be reading about War and Peace and current events. No. You want to be reading a nice, lighthearted story about someone else's breakup. So I recommend Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. That's what's been going on with me. I hope you're doing good. Feel free to drop me a line in my DMs or in my email, therapyroulette@gmail.com. This week's guest is Emma Scriver. She is a journalist based in Canada, a pop culture enthusiast and critic, an all-around great person. I'm excited to welcome Emma Scriver.
A friend for you, strangers whose issues are relatable. Guest interview, they're the voice that's new. This person has problems and they don't mind discussing it, but they still need a therapist. Who's not me?
Welcome back to Therapy Roulette. I'm Michelle Bacci. I'm here with Emma Scriver. She is a writer, a journalist based in Canada, known for being fat, loud, and shouty on the internet. She co-hosts the podcast High Low Brow, and it's about reality TV culture and lowbrow culture, whatever you interpret that as. She also has writing published in Refinery 29, The Walrus, The Washington Post, a bunch of other impressive publications. She lives in Toronto, and she loves TikToks and memes. Emma, welcome.
Hey, it's so nice to be on the show. Thanks for
having me. You're welcome. If I mess that up, feel free to correct me now.
You did. In the words of Kris Jenner, you did great.
Oh, thank you, Kris. I mean, she's got those kids, you know, they're high achieving, so I'll take it.
I mean, if we can give Kris an award for what she has done to downplay what has happened with Astroworld, because wow.
Yeah. Hot take.
I mean, can we just talk about how, and I realize this is like a hot take for, and we're only like 2 minutes into your show.
No, go for it. Let's bring down Travis Scott from the beginning.
But Kim and Pete Davidson's relationship all of a sudden blooming as soon as this concert disaster started, one. And then two.
Was it planned? Is it a conspiracy?
It's not real. Like, they're not dating. It's not happening. I do not believe it. But two, then, I don't know if you saw this morning, but
I haven't been online yet. I'm early over here in California.
Okay, perfect. So Tristan Thomas is having a baby with their, I guess it was their trainer, and this woman is 9 months pregnant. So, you know, they say the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder.
So I don't know who Tristan Thomas is. How is he or she fit
Tristan in? Tristan Thomas is Khloe Kardashian's former partner that she had True with. Yeah, I think that's their baby's name.
And now he got another trainer 9 months pregnant?
Yeah, like, so the story with Khloe Kardashian and with Tristan Thomas is when Khloe was pregnant with their kid, True, he cheated on her when she was pregnant and she was about to go into labor He is from Toronto. He is from Brampton specifically. And if you are from Toronto and you know the GTA very well, I highly recommend that you Google what a Brampton man is about, because
Brampton man.
Okay. And a Brampton man will disrespect you no matter what. And this is Tristan Thomas to a T.
Cheats on Khloe moments before the baby is born.
Yeah. Well, he's been cheating on her since they've been together all the time.
Oh, but had to do it also right before the baby was born. I wonder if it had to do with naming the child True. Like, was that the final straw that drove him over the edge?
Well, I mean, we could just talk for an hour about the Kardashians, and I could tell you about, like, we don't.
I've only recently dived into their lives because of Travis Barker. I'm like, an obsessed Blink-182 fan. So I'm like, oh my God, Travis. And now I'm in the Kardashian world a little bit, but not this much. This is a lot.
you don't want to get this deep. So I never meant to get like this obsessed, but then you're like, what is happening? Like there's so much. It's just like a dark web of you start going and you're like, how? What is happening?
There's too many of them and they're so active in society.
Yeah, there is an Instagram and a TikTok account that I love following called Kardashian Colloquium, both with K's, obviously. And the reason why I love this account is because she takes an academic lens to everything that they're doing. So she actually dissects all of the happenings in their lives from an academic standpoint, which is totally fascinating. And I guess
they probably don't get that a lot.
They do not. And actually, family has sent her a cease and desist for some of her posts, which is awesome.
That's on brand for them.
Yes.
Coming from Calabasas. That's what you do.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my Kardashians rant. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, I did. Rant up top. I love it. I will ask you again later if there's more you want to rant about, but yeah. I appreciated it. Is that also how you would describe, is it high-low brow? Like you take a sort of nuanced look to what some would consider like trash culture or reality culture?
100%. I think, that would probably be the podcast in a nutshell. That's probably what you're getting for an hour is us just taking a topic, whether it be the Kardashians or whether it be, you know, found footage or whether it be, homophobia in the Real Housewives world. And then just us dissecting that and talking about it and being like, yeah, we really love the Real Housewives or yeah, we really love Drag Race. But like, why are these things problematic and why is it still okay to like things? Because I think at the end of the day, like so often we love like, actually, I love reality television. I love pop culture. And a lot of times we discard it and we think that these things are bad and problematic. And it's okay to sort of critique the things that are in media and culture. It's okay to have these conversations about why things might not be okay. It's, you can still call it problematic. You can separate art from the artist, I think. and I mean, that line can get a little...
but it's a little reaching, but I understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sometimes just exploring, you know, where that line starts and stops. For example, we talked about, I think it was Ted Lasso one time. It was a very like small conversation. It wasn't even like what the whole episode was about.
Yeah. I love Ted Lasso.
Okay. So Danita, my co-host, was just like, this is a show that straight people only watch. It's not like...
there's no gay characters that I can think of.
No, I don't think so. So we just had this conversation about how like, yeah, it's a super charming show, but this is a show for straight people. This isn't a show for like queer people. Anyway, someone emailed us and got real mad and was like, this is so problematic. Like, why are you saying that? It's like, we weren't like bashing straight people. We weren't saying like, fuck you, straight people. Like, we were just saying, you know, like, it's kind of hetero dancing.
It's not really for the queer culture.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I would agree with that. I feel like it's a very mainstream show, very popular, and they deal a lot with mental health, which is why it's like struck a chord with me, but I didn't think about that, but it's kind of lacking any gay characters.
Yeah, and like I've had so many people tell me like, you should watch it, you would probably really like it, and maybe I would. I haven't seen it. I wasn't saying that I wouldn't like it. Maybe I would like it. I will potentially watch it. My partner watched it and they were like, it was really cute. Okay, cool. I'm not saying I'm not gonna watch it. We were just saying it wouldn't fit into the queer canon. That is all. It's not that deep, people. Like,
it's probably not what you're used to. And so therefore it's like something else you would try.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's fair. Ted Lasso, I recommend it. If you have the time, binge it.
Okay. I see. Thank you. I will definitely do that.
Yeah. I haven't put a lens on it though. I'm not good at critiquing pop culture. I feel like I either hate or love something. So I give you props for being able to dissect something and be like, no, it has good and bad components.
Right. It's like, that's it. Yeah. And you know, that's part of so much of even just the journalism work that I do is often just about critiquing and trying to break down the lens of so much of what our society is about, taking a look at like what is happening in our world and being like, is this it? Like,
yeah.
So I'm actually in the midst of writing a book review about Emily. I'm probably not going to pronounce her last name correctly, so
that's okay.
Please don't.
As someone with a difficult name, we're used to it.
Emily Ratajkowski, I think that's, but she appeared in the Blurred Lines music video.
Yeah, she gets a bad, she has a bad time on social media. Yes. I've seen.
Yes. So she just released a book called My Body. Have you heard about this?
Probably like in a tweet, not really.
Yeah. So I'm writing a review about it. I'm just in the midst of reading it. And so I read the sort of just like what it was about. And it's talking about how like women are sort of shamed for their bodies. And
yeah, you're saying this with such condensation. Like you're like, women. And these women.
So my editor,
we get it.
Yeah, like my editor contacted me and was just like, hey, I thought you would be great to write about this because you have such strong opinions about bodies. And I was like, yeah, I mean, like, I just have to ask. And like, yes, women and other folks are usually left out of these conversations about bodies. But like, and I'm not saying that she doesn't experience these feelings. However, why is she the person to write this book? Like, like all people experience issues with bodies and like,
yeah. She's a model, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she's a thin white woman who's rich and a model. And that's not to discount her experiences. However, there's a lot of privilege in that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm sure she has so many problems like that are disgusting and distorted and psychological, but are they relatable? I don't know.
Right. So that's kind of the basis of what my review is going to be. Just being like, I can't relate. I'm sorry. And I feel bad because what you're feeling is valid, but also it's kind of like a Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah. I'm like here and there with Chrissy Teigen because I think she's a funny person.
Yeah.
And she's had a shitty COVID time. So I don't know what to say about her. I don't hate her, but also not the most relatable person.
Yeah. It's like sometimes I'm like, babe, you just got to log off. Someone's got to change all of your passwords and just tell like,
you got to find something else to do.
Yeah.
Take up knitting.
Yeah. Take up knitting. Like you love cooking. Just keep making banana bread. Yeah, stay away from Twitter.
Have someone else do the social media for like a month and see how it goes.
I know that I hate, because I work full time in social media, I know that I hate being on the internet after being on the internet all day. So yeah, sometimes I just, I'm like, hey, maybe I should like hire someone to help me with social, because isn't it terrible being on the internet for 8 hours a day? Kind of is.
I can't imagine. By the way, I have to address, the neighborhood ice cream truck is coming around. It happens whenever I record. So that's what's happening.
It knows.
Is it therapy roulette time? I better sell some ice cream. We're on a similar schedule. But yes, you were saying the internet sucks. I personally am trying to get better at like not responding to people, like making a day pass, 2 days pass, don't need to respond to every mention. It's not like I'm getting a lot of them, but if I get one or two, I feel like I have to respond immediately, and you don't have to do that. So less notifications are better.
What I have sort of, what my pandemic time has sort of taught me is learning to create a separation between myself and the internet, which has been very hard, because previously, I think, and what is really interesting is, I think when you're a person on the internet, which sounds very strange to name it that way.
Not everyone is, which is remarkable.
Yeah. When my partner is not, like they're absolutely 100% not. But when you're a person on the internet, and especially when you're like a journalist or when you're a podcaster, when you're a like insert.
If you're in any form of media, it's totally different.
You're expected to be online all of the time. When you're not.
Just like constantly losing your mind.
Yeah. And it's really difficult because when I've engaged with, let's say, agents, or when I've engaged with, you know, editors, the whole, it's like you have to have this presence. You have to have this like persona. You have to have this insert whatever here.
And yeah, I don't, but then you end up like Chrissy Teigen and like you hate yourself.
Yes, this is exactly what I was gonna say. And it's kind
I'm
of
sorry,
like,
I cut you off.
No. I'm glad that you said that, because I have just been like, cool, like I get that you're trying to sell a person, but if I'm on the internet 24 hours a day, I am going to have brain worms, and like you're not going to have the healthiest version of me. Mm-hmm. I don't love that for me. So no.
Yes. I mean, how much do you have to sell yourself per day? Can you just like appear? You don't have to be on there that much.
Right. So this is, I think, boundaries have been so important to learn. And people will email me with like the wildest things because I've written about like mental health, or I've written about like, you know,
I want to dig into your writing a little bit, because you have a lot of like fascinating topics you write about.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, because I write so much about like putting myself into my own work, and I write about, you know, having complex PTSD, or I write about having ADHD, or I write about, you know, being in a fat body, or I write about, you know, all of these different things. People will email me and be like, hey, can you tell me where I can go and get therapy? Or hey, can you tell me about, you know, what types of medications you're taking? Hey, can you tell me about...
Very invasive question.
Like, you do not understand the types of emails I will get. And it's, while I appreciate that people really love my work and that they're relating to it and they're getting something from it, it's also, at the same time, like, I just don't know how to A, intake that information, and B, I am not a doctor. I am a human who is also just trying to live. Yeah. Like,
that sounds like some kind of assistant needs to help with like some template emails, like fill in the blank, psychologytoday.com, stick with therapy for at least 3 months and you'll feel better. Like some like generic advice.
Yeah. And it's almost like, hi, if you literally just read my piece, you would understand that like, I am also a mentally ill individual trying to navigate my life. And like, what?
Yes. I'm actually not giving out free advice to everyone. Just like doing my job.
That and if I don't respond, it's because I have created boundaries, not because I don't care.
Yeah.
So I remember
people
when
are wild on the internet. They virtually scream at you and they act so aggressive and you're like, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. I'm just a stranger.
Right.
I'm not responding to this.
Totally.
I get like, a lot of people pissed off I don't answer their emails. And I'm like, you're cold emailing me. I don't know who or what you are. You're probably not real. I'm not going to respond.
Yes. Someone emailed the podcast because I didn't respond to their email in my personal email. And I was like, that is not an invitation to email me somewhere else. Like,
yeah. People find you on social media, they find you everywhere, and they keep bombarding you with the same requests. And you're like, it's not going to work on Instagram if it didn't work the other five places.
Genuinely wild. Do not understand.
No, people are broken.
Yeah. And
or they're bots. I think I get a lot of bots asking me questions.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, I feel really shitty, but let's actually, this is a good example. My partner, who is literally like so removed from everything.
So your partner is it sounds like a video game person. So that's like their connection to the internet. Is that right?
Yeah. Like that is it. They have an Instagram account, but so they work in coffee. They used to work more in cafes. Now they work for a roastery, so they don't work in a cafe setting anymore. Mm-hmm.
I love that career choice.
Yeah.
I like coffee.
But when they used to work in cafes, and I would post pictures of us together, people would come up to them and be like, oh, wait, you're Emma's partner. And they'd be like, hey, can I help you? And they would have no idea who these people were. And these people would just talk to them like they knew them.
Yeah, they feel like they do.
It's that parasocial thing. Mm-hmm. So they had to end up blocking their Instagram account and like all of their social accounts because people would just keep adding them. And it made them like... They didn't ask for this. They didn't like.
And you're also a journalist. Like, I feel like that shouldn't be the most public thing, but it can be because of the way we live.
Totally. So I love my partner. I love our relationship. And I was just like, I really don't want this to be weird for you. So like, you should make and create those boundaries that you need to. So yeah, it's been, and like, it makes me sad that they have to do that and they can't just, you know, even though they aren't an internet person, what if they were, and they can't just live their life the way that they would like.
Yeah. But I think as we get deeper into the 2020s, like we'll have more of these problems where even a regular, someone who's choosing a more regular life gets bombarded with weird internet requests just because they got found some other way.
Well, I have on my Facebook currently, don't add me unless we've actually like met or communicated in some form or fashion. And you don't
I like that.
Yeah, like you would not understand the amount of people who try and just add me anyways. And then I will message them and be like, hello, do we actually know each other? And they're like, oh no, you just came up in my like, I should
my
add you.
My requested friends.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. Do you ever spend time just like on Facebook adding randos?
Okay. So disclosure, full disclosure. I did add like two people on Facebook the other day, which is weird for me. And I did scroll through the people you may know just to see if I knew like other comics. But normally I do not. No, I'm very much like, please don't add me unless like we've talked several times. This is very weird.
So, okay. To be fair, I did scroll through that section the other day too.
They do put it in your homepage every time you log in.
Yes.
We're going to scroll at some point.
You are going to scroll at some point. But I added someone who I like actually knew. So it wasn't totally off base. It was more of a like, oh, I know this person. I didn't know they were on Facebook, which I mean, everybody's on Facebook.
If I tried to add, like, say I'm an avid reader of your work and I try to add you, if you reject me, I'll be momentarily sad, but I will understand because I don't know you.
Yeah. So it was more of a like, this is literally a person I've like never spoken to in my life or met or anything. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're just a person who's like read my work and you're like, I want to follow you. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram, but my Facebook is for people that like, I actually know.
That's more personal. That's, yeah. I feel like that too. I have like an Instagram account that's for my personal stuff and it's private. And I feel like I'm going to keep it private. So it's something I have for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like and when people request me, like a Finsta.
Yeah.
And when people request me, I get weirded out now where I'm like, I don't know. Why would you request my private Instagram? Like strange man from Turkey.
Yeah. There's just sometimes where if I had a Finsta, mm-hmm. which I've never made, just because I'm like, I can barely own and operate one account. So imagine. Yeah. And then I have
I do not recommend the multiple accounts. It's very confusing.
Okay. I think we're good.
Oh, if you're sure. I wanted to let you know that I have Facebook friends.
But yeah, it's like, oh, I have to, like, if I have my account and then I have to manage like brand work accounts.
You do it for work too? Like, that's way too much.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's too a lot of social media.
Too much.
You got to take care of your mental health at some point.
Yes. Where would you like to pick up, or we just?
I would just like to say, if you find my Finsta, don't add me. Only add me at Michelle Bocci Comedy or at Therapy Roulette, please.
You can add me at Am a Scriver. If you like my work, but
Twitter and Insta,
yeah. All
not Facebook. Stay away from Facebook.
Yeah, stay away from Facebook. That's where I like complain about my mom.
That's for your old relatives. Like, talk to them. They need you to talk to them.
I don't have.
They're
my,
lonely.
I don't have,
They're so
no,
lonely.
I don't even have my family on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's your family?
I like my family's tried to add me, and I'm like, not for you. Not
on Facebook.
Like, yeah. No.
That's funny.
It's a private space for exclusive. It's an exclusive invite only place, not yes. for you.
This is my chosen family only.
Exactly. I'm like, no, thank you. Hard pass. Although I That's know funny. with Facebook, there's like different settings you can create different, like, oh, I can share this information with these people. Like, you can
don't
create
even
different-
get me started. It's so complicated.
I'm like, that's too much fucking work. I don't want to spend that much time creating different lists. No, thank you. Hard pass.
Yeah. Like, I had a list like that for Facebook in college, and it was too much work, and it created more paranoia. And I was like, it's just all out there or it's not on there. It's one or the other.
Yes. This is why I just don't have them on there.
Yeah. That's very funny. I need my family to give me support and likes. So I have my family whenever I can.
So you were like, so I have been estranged from my mom for, I guess it's been almost 6 years now, I want to say. And then my dad and I.
That makes still, sense.
Yes. So that is why, not that. And then my dad and I still have a relationship, but we had a period of time where we were estranged as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the greatest relationship with my family. But
that's
yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. So I am very much a chosen family person. But I still talk to other people in my family. So I talk to my aunts on both of my mom and my dad's side, and they're like lovely and amazing. And they give me all the love and support that I would need from like family. Yes. And I actually talk to my cousins on both of my sides, both of my my mom and my dad's side. And
I get it.
The lovely thing about it is that both of my cousins on my mom and my dad's side, they're actually both, one's trans and one is non-binary. And I am the oldest out of all of the cousins. My parents had me when they were really young. So my mom was 19 and my dad was, I think, maybe 22 or 23. So he was a little bit older.
So still a child.
Yeah. Still very young. Like not like, ooh, he was old, but
yeah. Have you talked to a 23-year-old lately? They're
yeah,
children.
Yeah. They're babies and they should not be having babies, but whatever. But yeah, I'm the oldest out of all of the cousins, and I'm kind of like all of my aunts and uncles. I'm more of like their age, where my cousins are now like they're like in their 20s and 30s now, whereas I'm like I'm a like adult.
You've lived a good life so far, and you know I feel like you're at a stable place, right?
Yeah. So I feel like so protective of them. I'm like, I want to like impart my advice to you as you navigate through these waters of, you know, being a young adult.
The shit storm that is life. Like, yeah. let me guide you if you need the guidance.
Yeah, don't do all the things I did, because trust me, growing up was terrible, and I wish somebody had helped me. Spoiler, no one did.
I get it.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it have been so nice if when I was growing up, someone would have told me that, oh, it's okay that like you're gay, and like it's okay that like you have ADHD and you have all of these things. It's okay that you are depressed. It's okay. Like, all of these things are totally normal. Instead, it was quite the opposite. And I feel like now that I'm adult, it's taken me the last 6 years to sort of navigate through all of that all on my own and show up for myself and be like, I deserve to, you know, make space for myself and also like fuck up and also just live, like be happy.
You can be totally human and have a good experience. You don't have to be like fitting into someone's mold.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's rough. So I have questions from this.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me about therapy? Are you in therapy? Do you love it, hate it?
I have been in therapy for the last 6 years.
Okay. Nice.
So big fan, huge fan, 10 out of 10 would recommend. I've done so many types of therapy. I have done...
Was this prompted by like an estrangement from your parents, or were you just like, it's time to go and check out what this therapy business is?
It was a few different things.
You don't have to tell me. I was just wondering.
Yeah, I think it was like a few different things. One of which was like the estrangement from my parents, because I kind of came to a point where I was like, I don't think this is like a healthy thing that is happening. I should like try and figure this out.
Yeah. Well, it's also like the whole concept of parents, these two people who were very young when they had you, like they're the only people who are supposed to guide you and form you and help you figure out life. Like that seems like a low probability of success.
Yes, that one. So it's interesting. The other thing too, kind of, is that, you know, when you're growing up and you only have these two individuals to like sort of influence you and sort of imprint their viewpoints on you, but also if one of them has an addiction issue, or if one of them is dealing with their own mental health issues that they are unaware of, or if one of them is sort of like, you know, in some type of relationship that might be hurtful or harmful, you're sort of like, you're just there absorbing all of that. And that just sort of, when you're a child, you don't know right from wrong. You don't know if that's the way someone should be talking to you, or if those situations that you're in are okay. So as you become older and you start to look back and you're like, maybe that wasn't safe. Maybe the way that conversation went, maybe that wasn't chill. maybe that wasn't the vibe.
Maybe I'll tell my cousins to watch out for that.
Yeah. So I think it was, and this is going to sound very cornball, but I'm going to say it anyways.
No, corn is great.
But I think really it wasn't until my partner and I met that I didn't really understand what love looked like.
Yeah.
And when we met, I remember they were just so nice to me, and they treated me with kindness and love and respect, and they would always show up. And I was so not used to that. I was so not used to a person doing that for me. And I had never had people around me who wanted to support me in that way. And it was very strange, because the people who I had in my life at that time were not the type of friends who gave support like that.
Not good friends.
Yeah.
Questionable friends.
Yeah. So I think meeting my partner really changed my outlook on so many different things. And I know like you shouldn't place everything on one person. That's really not healthy. But I really thank them for giving me the strength and courage to sort of show up for myself
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what you should be looking for in a partner, someone mm-hmm. who always shows up and always supports you and makes you better.
Yeah. And I think what's really great about our relationship is that we've been able to do that for one another. So they only started transitioning this year, and they originally they tried to come out to their partner as trans when they were younger, and the person that they were with previously told them that that was disgusting, and they so stayed in the closet, so to speak, for all of these years. And it wasn't until we were in a relationship together that they felt comfortable enough to be like, be their full authentic self. And I think we've sort of brought out in one another that we can be each other. Like, we can fully be who we need to be. And like, oh, it's just like, I know it sounds corny, and those are like those weird things that you read about, but it's nice when you meet a person that you can just be there for.
Be your whole self with.
Yeah.
So it's like breaking out of a cocoon in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like.
Totally.
And your partner and you have been together for like 10 years, for a long time.
Yeah. So our wedding, which was in September, was our 9th anniversary. And the reason why we wanted to have our wedding on that date was because it was our 9th anniversary. So mm-hmm. we can just keep it all the
just
same.
Just one anniversary.
Just one anniversary.
Nice and simple.
Nice and simple. We're not big on, you know, big, we could never really remember our anniversary date to begin with. And we were like, it's September, it's this date. And so we were like, let's not like get this more complicated, because we're bad at remembering things.
That's
to begin
smart.
With.
Yeah. So. And I love that you are so accepting of each other too. So can I ask, your partner came out as trans mm-hmm. and you were cool with it. And that works well with your relationship. You were like, no, that works.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember when they, I'd actually be like, yeah, it was totally fine. It was all good. when they first told me, I was like, oh, okay.
I'm sure it's very shocking.
Yes. Like yeah. we had talked about it before, and like I was shocked. It took me a little while to like get there, and it wasn't that I like was like, I'm not this, but I think it was more, and you read about this commonly with folks who are dating someone who is going through a transition, but there's a period of time where you feel like you're losing your partner.
Yeah.
And
well, you're grieving an identity, you're grieving a form of a person.
Mm-hmm. And that's like really like, that's what it was. And then there was just one day where I kind of like, it was like a this, and I was like, oh, but like, that doesn't really matter. Like, I'm still with this person. Like, I love this person. Like, this is my partner.
Right.
Who cares? Like, I don't care. At the end of the day, we're together, and like, none of this matters. Like,
the essence of the person is the same, the soul.
Yeah. And I love them. They love me, and we're in this together. So fuck everything else.
Love can conquer all.
I know. Love is love.
That's awesome. Well, I feel like I've heard a story that went the opposite way. So like, it can be
yes
terrible. So you never know. You take a risk when you come out to a partner, but you have to do it because you have to be your true self.
Well, when we were first going through all of this, we went to go see a therapist because we wanted to be above board. We wanted to be like, okay, this is going to be, you know, a very interesting time for the both of us. We are both going through this transitional period. Let's see how we can best support one another. Yeah, so we
such a good idea.
We are big proponents of therapy in this house.
Yeah. Especially something you know is like emotionally draining. Mm-hmm. How helpful it is to have a professional sort that out for you.
So we went to see a therapist. We interviewed a few therapists. We chose one. And let me tell you, it was probably the worst experience I've had in my life. This therapist was, they identified as non-binary. So they had knowledge of like the trans queer community.
sometimes that's not enough.
Yeah. And then we had to fill out a bunch of intake forms. And on those intake forms, I had also filled out that, can you give me 1 second?
Oh yeah.
Okay. 1 second. I'm so sorry about that.
Groceries delivered. No, it's fine. If you need to put stuff away, I get it. I have nothing else going on today. So whatever you want to do. I want to ask you a couple questions.
Yeah.
Get to them.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Where did we leave off?
We were talking about the shitty non-binary therapist.
Oh, yes. Okay. Perfect. I will continue.
But I'll let you go in 15 minutes.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes. So this therapist filled out all these intake forms. In the intake forms, it asks so many questions. I've put that I'm, non-binary. I'm queer, this and that, whatever, all these things.
Yeah, your identifiers.
Yeah. I have complex PTSD, all the things. It's all in there. Mm-hmm. And in our
I'm also familiar with that. Doesn't that
fun? So we go to our first session, and essentially they're trying to explain to me about like what TERFs are. And I think they like assumed I was straight, and I was like, I'm not straight, but thank you. they kept
like, I actually don't watch Ted Lasso, and I filled out those forms.
Yeah, I was like, did you read my form before we came? Like, what was really funny about the form is that I spent like 30 minutes on the form, and my partner spent like 10 minutes on the form. So yeah. I was like very irked by the fact that they like sat there and was just basically thought I was straight. And like, anyways, I have a lot of feelings. We ended up firing this
disrespectful
therapist. Yeah. Like,
that's good. How many sessions did you have to do? Just one?
We did two.
Okay.
And
you knew from the get-go, like, I'm offended.
Well, basically what happened was in the second session, they told us that we were going to break up. And then they said something else.
You're not supposed to do that, as far as what I know about therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just like, just so you know that like when partners are transitioning, the stats show that, you know, whatever the percentage is, they're more than likely going to break up.
And you, Emma, are a statistic. So therefore,
reality.
It's going to be bad. Yeah. You're going to be out of this relationship.
It's like, I am aware of the stats, but I mean, having only known us for one session, what? Like, it was just wild. It was like, and then they said something about like me They were kind of trying to, so when you go to couples therapy, they usually, you know that you have a bad therapist when they're supposed to be impartial. They're not supposed to take sides. They're supposed to just like listen to both of you and then offer sort of things. But they were trying to sort of frame me as the bad person in the relationship and my partner as sort of like the defenseless like person who couldn't do anything. And I was like, we both have different trauma. Like I come from a trauma background. I have trauma
experiences.
Yeah. My partner has trauma. So we both have different trauma responses, which we both told you about. And we're coming to you because my partner is going through a transition and we want to be able to make sure that we show up for one another, knowing that we both have trauma in the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm giving you the information. Now it's your turn.
Yeah. Now you are to use your degrees to give us the tools.
But some therapists, this is the roulette wheel of therapists, are just not good at their job or not good individuals. And therefore, you take a chance. The same way some doctors are shitty, some mailmen don't get the mail delivered. Like, you don't know what you're getting.
Exactly. So
good for you for firing that person.
Yeah. They wanted us to do one more session with them so we could tell them what went wrong. We were like, no.
And pay you for it?
No. They offered it to us for free.
But a waste of your time.
It was like, I literally do not want to spend any more time with you. And also, it is not my job to tell you how you did your job wrong.
Yeah, that's awful. I'm glad you recovered from that and found a better therapist.
Oh, well, I mean, we go to separate therapists for ourselves, but we just didn't find another like couples therapist. We were just like, wow, this was traumatic. Maybe we just take a break. But we have started talking about maybe going to see a sex therapist.
Okay. That could be interesting.
Yeah. We'll see where that takes us.
You can listen to Therapy Roulette this weekend, and the newest episode will be with a couples therapist, sex therapist. Ooh. She has some good advice.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's good people out there, but you have to do the digging to find them.
So hard.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I didn't realize how hard it was. And then we got such good vibes off this person. Vibes and hope.
Yeah. and then it was all crushed.
It was crushed.
I don't want to keep you too long. So let me just ask you one question about the piece you wrote about work from home culture, going back to the office.
Yeah.
You said people have gained weight in the pandemic. Statistically, people have gained weight.
Yeah.
And people are feeling anxiety about this. I mean, I don't think I've really gained that much weight, but I feel like a disgusting person coming out of this pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I definitely can relate to this anxiety. Do you think you're writing from a personal take, or what was your like inspiration for that article?
So I've just seen a lot of an uptake in sort of tweets and posts online and people saying like, I've gained the quarantine 15 or, those types of things. Mm-hmm. So I too have also gained weight. But also I don't care. Yeah. to me, it's not a big deal. I mean, my body has fluctuated in weight either up or down throughout my entire life. So it's like, whatever, I will probably lose weight and I will probably gain weight my entire life. It just is what it is. But I think there's...
You've accepted your body.
Right. But I think when you're at an office place, people can be so cruel. It's almost like being in high school again.
Yeah, it's very judgy for sure.
Totally. And it's interesting because there's friends of mine who I've been talking with, and even virtually, it can be very clicky at times. So I can only just imagine what, let's say your body has changed. Let's say you have transitioned. Let's say, you know, because we're not in an office, we're not near any folks that we would see typically day to day. We're just with our chosen family. We're hanging out with our chosen friends. We're getting to it might be a little anxiety ridden because you're going to a place where all like with these folks that you typically only have to see when you're at work. And it's like, oh yeah, that's I for me personally, I don't really care. Like I don't give a shit. But
yeah,
I know
that's good.
Yeah. But I know to get to that place.
For me, I'm in a newer job. So I feel like I'm much more critical of like my appearance, how I'm talking to these people. I'm like, they don't really know the real me. So I feel like I have to put on a ruse to like trick them into liking me.
Yeah, that's been exhausting. Fascinating actually chatting with my partner about body dysmorphia and dysphoria and sort of the differences between that. Because I don't think I realized just like how, I mean, like body image is so complicated and I don't experience the same things that they do. And, you know, the way that they see their body and the way that I see my body are like two totally different things. And I also just really appreciate getting to hear from them because they've helped me sort of unpack a lot of the unchecked biases that I have had. Mm-hmm. So we love this.
Is there any suggestions you have for getting over body dysmorphia or dysphoria?
I think the biggest
thing to be more accepting of your own appearance and body and less critical the way American culture surely wants you to be. I don't know about Canadian culture, probably similar.
Really similar. It's been to, and I know this sounds really simple, but this last year I've just been like, wear whatever the fuck you want. It just comes with getting older, that you stop caring about what other people think and you just are like, cool, I'm just gonna do what I want. And I think
yes.
That's more of like a body image thing than a dysphoria thing. I think dysphoria is completely it's different for every single person, so I can't speak to that topic and I would never feel comfortable giving suggestions for that.
It does seem like something you want to work through with like a mental health professional.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so don't email you about that specifically.
No, but for body image, I feel like you can sort of, you know, wear what you want. I mean, sometimes I just stand in front of, we have a full length mirror, sliding closet doors, and I just stand in front of and I look at myself and I'm like, I look good.
Yeah. Like prepping yourself up in the mirror, like however that looks like for you.
Yeah. Or during the pandemic, I've always wanted to do drag. And so I went out and I bought a bunch of wigs and I've been trying to play around with makeup. And am I going to go out and perform? No, probably not. But I'm having fun. And that's all that fucking matters. Like,
yeah,
don't like, if you think it and you want to do it and it will make you happy. One of the things that someone explained to me is that rush that you get when you put on a, like, let's say it's a piece of clothing or an item or whatever, that's dysphoria. That's like, that's what's making you feel happy. So I remember the first time I did my drag makeup and I put on the wig, I was like, what is this? I'm feeling my oats. And like, that's dysphoria. That's like, you're feeling dysphoric. Dysphoric is the bad one. My apologies.
Euphoria.
Oh my God. I write. Jesus.
No, I've been, this whole hour has been like, we're all over the place. So I get it.
Yeah. So just,
but you're doing it for you.
You're doing it for you. Just fucking do it. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it.
For sure.
Let me, and my like best friends say to me, you're like our one woman hype squad. And I'm like, that's what I'm fucking here for, to tell you all that you can goddamn do it. Yes. So be your own hype squad.
I love it. I spun the wheel real quick for you. Mm-hmm. What grinds your gears, Emma?
Oh my God.
Or if you have a rant you want to take us on, your choice.
Okay. It's so funny. This is a very random one, but it's a conversation that I had the other day with a friend of mine. IT, like the IT department at your office. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Does the IT department at anybody's workplace, are they ever any good? Cause like, they're genuinely terrible. Can somebody tell me, has anybody seen that BBC show, the IT? Is it called?
No, I haven't seen it.
God, I wish I could. Okay. It's called, I think it's called The IT Place. Hang on. I'm actually going to Google it so I can.
I hope there's not a lot of shows about IT teams.
Okay, hang on. IT Place, BBC. Richard. Okay, hang on.
The IT crowd.
Yes. There we go.
The comedic misadventures.
Yes. Okay. IT crowd. Exactly. Like, that is the epitome of what an IT department is. And like, every single time I ever talk to someone in IT, they're just like trying to send you on a roundabout, like, of what you don't need. And then when you try and do what they want, they're like, oh, but actually that's not what we asked. Why didn't you do I think IT in a workplace setting is literally just trying to make you have an aneurysm, like a brain aneurysm. And you're like,
That might be how they weed out people from the company. Like, can you deal with IT for several days? No, maybe you shouldn't work here.
It's like a Hunger Games challenge.
Fair enough. I know for me, it's like asking them to help with the printer. That never goes anywhere. the printer's there for appearance only.
Oh my God. It's so funny. Yeah. Anyways, that is very random, but also
it's a good opinion that I haven't heard. So thank you.
My friend and I were sending each other voice notes the other day that were just like going back and forth for about 15 minutes about how much we hated IT. Mm-hmm. So
you have to get it out.
Sometimes you just gotta get it out.
I'm don't sorry. Send the voice note to the wrong person.
I'm sorry to all the IT workers who may be listening. I'm sure you are lovely individuals, and I don't hate you personally. I know a few
good ones.
Okay. I'm sure they're lovely, but
I don't know what they do all day.
They're telling you to turn it on and off.
Reboot. Download it again. Just try it again. Emma, this has been so lovely. Let us know where to find you and promote your podcast. And that's it.
Okay. Well, if you loved what you heard, I swear I'm a lovely individual. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Emma Scriver. So that's AmaScriver. And then you can find my podcast at High Low Brow Pod. And that's at Twitter and Instagram as well. And then if you would like to follow any of my writing work, website is www.amascriver.com. And then the podcast is www.highlowbrowpod.com. Boom.
Nice. And do you want to promote? You said you had a big piece coming out in December. Where we can find that?
Yeah. I think it's actually been pushed.
Okay. This will come out probably in February. So
yes,
that's perfect.
February. So it's a cover story in Chatelaine. I'm talking about psychedelics and their use in the mental health space, which I'm super excited about. I worked on the piece for, I think it's been almost a year now, which is bananas, but that's sort of, you know, that's how print works sometimes. And then I'm actually, I have two other pieces coming out soon. I am profiling all of the fashion designers, costume designers for the season two Queens of Canada's Drag Race. If there's any drag enthusiasts here. And then I'm also writing a piece about the new Queer Eyes coming out at the end of the year. And I am writing something about envisioning what the Canadian Queer Eye would look like if it also included women, trans, and non-binary folks. And both of those pieces will be on CBC Arts.
Ooh, I like that idea. I can't wait to read them all.
They're going to be great, I promise.
I can't wait. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and we'll talk soon.
Oh, it was so great. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Emma.
No, thank you.
Hey, I want to thank you personally for listening to the podcast. This has been Therapy Roulette, where I give you consent to vent. I would love to keep making episodes and putting out this podcast into the world. And in order to do that, people have to find out about it and they have to listen. So please leave a review if you have 10 seconds to spare. Reviews go a long way. Any app, any place on the internet, please leave a good review. Please tell your friends about the podcast. You could explain it, say it's about an honest mental health conversation. It's a little bit funny. It's a little bit deprecating. Or don't explain it at all and just send them an AirDrop link and boom, they have it in their phone. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back with a new episode, not next Thursday, but the following Thursday.
Therapy Roulette, consent to vent, trauma disguised as comedy. Therapy Roulette, consent to vent, if you don't have